Cap and Jay Hood. Mornings.
ESPN 1000 and the ESPN Chicago app.
So Louis Riddick was on the show on Friday. He is one of the voices, one of the two analysts with Brian Griese. Steve Levy is the play-by-play man who will be on the Waddle and Sylvie show this afternoon. Mm-hmm. That will call the game tonight. And he's also in the Trib today with a really interesting article by Dan Weider, a Q&A with him. But he was asked if he was excited about a Bears-Rams matchup on Monday Night Football.
This is a heck of a matchup here. I'm anxious to get out there to L.A. and kind of talk to these coaching staffs and take in a little bit of practice and really see how this game, you know, kind of formulate my final opinion how this game's gonna bear itself out. Because I mean, these are two real good defenses in particular that can really fly around in the football. Got a lot of playmakers on the field. I think these offenses are gonna have a tough night. But that's okay with me being a defensive guy anyway. I kind of like when offenses have tough nights. So I'm anxious to see how this game looks.
He also, I think it was Hoodie that asked him, what does Nick Foles bring to the offense that Mitch Trubisky didn't?
Well, look, Nick has experience in this system to where he knows this offense as far as all of its capabilities, particularly in the passing game and where the ball is supposed to go. Probably even more so than Mitch. It's just a matter of, I think with all quarterbacks, what can equalize all of that is when they start getting hit and start getting a lot of pressure. And then a lot of that goes out the window because their eyes come down and start seeing the rush. So he's not as athletic and doesn't have the same kind of ability to create when things start going haywire for him and he starts getting hit in terms of getting outside the pocket and being able to pick up first downs with his legs. But he has, I think, the ability to use the full capability of this offense from a mental standpoint and an experience standpoint in a way that Mitch doesn't. Now, it's just a matter of can they get him comfortable to the point where he doesn't have to bring his eyes down and start looking at the rush, because I think, as you guys have all seen, the weak point of this offense is the offensive line. And any quarterback, no matter what you think he can or can't do as far as knowing where to go with the football, it doesn't matter when they start getting hit, because then they don't see anything. All they see are people coming at them, and that'll make any quarterback look bad. And I think they've had moments of that this year already.
So that was Louis Riddick with us on Friday. I'm excited to hear their national perspective on the Chicago Bears. He also Why? Said he's going to give a ton of love to Akeem Hicks, who I think gets overlooked at times.
You know, I don't look forward to their perspective. The perspective only matters on this show. You think they know more than we know about the Bears? No. They study it.
No, but they do get to sit down with Matt, and they get to hear things we never get to hear.
Yeah, but you could just text Matt and get that information if you wanted to.
Maybe.
You just don't care to.
So, I am excited to hear the national stage and what they say.
Well, you know, hopefully the Bears give them something to talk about. How about that?
I hope so.
Give them something to talk about for once.
To the phones, 312-332-3776. Let's go to Viking Scott in Crown Point, Indiana. What's up, Viking?
Gentlemen, before I get to the Bears point, I obviously were watching the IU-Penn State game. The first time ever I saw a redo in college football. Did you see that in the first half with the fumble on the punt and the guy went out of bounds and they just redid the play? did you see that?
I didn't see the play.
The guy didn't have to reestablish because the guy that recovered the fumble went out of bounds, and they came up, official expert, Pereira, didn't even know how to explain why they just re-punted the ball.
No, you know, I had the TVs on, but I didn't have the sound up for that. I was probably watching something more important like the SEC, so I did not see that in the first half.
Right, he didn't want to see who the Big Ten's putting up as a sacrificial lamb at the end of the year.
So let me get to my Bears point right now, because you guys know I'm a Viking fan, not a Bears fan. My wife's a Bear fan.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, if I said the Bears weren't going to score defensively or start a possession on the other side of the 50, shot or no shot, you actually think they are capable of scoring 21 points against the Rams' defense?
I would say shot. I absolutely would
and
say
how,
shot.
Cap, based on what you've seen? How?
Well, 2 years ago, they ran the ball 35 times in a victory over the Rams. This is not Mitchell Trubisky, who played maybe his worst game other than the Eagle game last season. There, the weather should be cooperative. Danny will give us a weather forecast if he could. And we'll see what it's like out there, but it's not going to be cold. I don't believe there's going to be snow in L.A., so they should have a chance to make some plays in the passing game. There have been some things open down the field. Darnell Mooney, Foles missed him. Anthony Miller dropped it. I mean, there's chances to make plays, don't you think?
So with Luke Donald pressuring up the middle and Ramsey probably matching up with Robinson.
Hey, I'll tell you what, if Luke Donald is at tackle, we are going to win by a billion.
I'm sorry. I apologize for that error. But, yes, I don't think it's possible, Cap, based on what we've seen offensively from the Bears for six games.
Well, at least your team's 1-5. Have a great day,
Viking
Scott.
Take care, guys.
See you, kid.
Good job, yeah. Skull. And now we turn
He comes in tomorrow on the show, and his name is Bear Scott.
Bear Scott, yes. He might as well be after that terrible, terrible Viking ball club.
Ugh, they're horrible.
I really thought they were going to be much better, but here we go. There he is, Skull.
You like that? You like that?
Yeah, you like
Thanks,
that?
Kirk.
We turn now to veteran weatherman Dan Zetterman with more on the temperature at SoFi Stadium.
Thank you, Jonathan. Tonight at kickoff, it will be a nice 71 degrees and sunny. 0% chance of precipitation. Winds coming out of the west-northwest at about 5 miles per hour.
So it's basically a perfect night to make plays in the freaking passing game.
Little chilly. Perfect. Little chilly. I'm used to 72 in the in the L.A. weather.
By the time the game ends, it's going to drop down to a balmy 62 degrees.
Wow. 312-332-3776. I want to see early down the field. Whoa, there goes Darnell Mooney. Touchdown.
You didn't expect Denver's weather in Inglewood tonight, did you?
I was hoping it was not going to be
snow.
That.
You didn't expect that?
And let me tell you, I kept seeing all the sharps. I subscribed to a billion different newsletters. I'm reading all of it. Pound the under in the Chiefs game. And I'm thinking, pound the under. They could still score. Le'Veon Bell can run in the snow. Clyde Edwards-Helaire is really good, and he's young, and he's fresh, and his legs are strong. Dude, they put up the over-under closed at 44, 44 and a half. They got 43 themselves.
See, it doesn't matter
and
the
Mahomes
weather.
And Mahomes wasn't great yesterday.
He was very pedestrian.
Very.
But it doesn't matter. And by the way, Jeff, we talk about young quarterbacks. There's a lot of them in this league for the next level.
Yes.
Drew Locke's not one of them.
No, he's not, Hoodie.
Justin Herbert is.
Yeah, Herbert looks really good. Kyler Murray had his moments last night.
Yep. What's his name? Joe Burrow.
He's fun.
So, 312-332-3776.
Not Baker Mayfield. He was good yesterday.
He was good yesterday. I'm not a Baker guy, but he was very good yesterday.
You don't have to be. It doesn't matter if you're a Baker guy. He's good.
Cap was quick to want to cash the checks on the people that wanted Cam Newton or Andy Dalton, but he quickly glossed over the day that Baker Mayfield and Jimmy Garoppolo had.
I just said he had a great day.
Okay. Garoppolo, too.
I'm not a Baker Mayfield guy.
And not a Garoppolo guy.
Yeah. And you heard Keyshawn this morning said he thinks Matt Ryan will be the quarterback of the Niners next year.
Yep.
So. We'll see.
He also looks at the Bears and just looks at weather and Rex Grossman
with
snow.
With disdain.
Yes.
With disdain. let's go to Jimmy in Mundelein. Hey, Jimmy, what's up, man?
Hi, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
Thanks for calling.
I had a question. How are the Rams, what have they done to prove to be a six-point favorite? I know they're at home, but they don't look that special.
I don't think they're that special either. But they do have a better quarterback in terms of stats than the Bears do. They have Aaron Donald.
Go ahead.
Yeah, Goff's been in the league for 4 years. I mean, no one worries about that guy. There's still question marks on their passing offense.
Okay, so how would you set the line? Bears, six-point favorite?
No, I mean, I understand why the Rams are a favorite, but 6 points against that Bears defense, it's pretty generous, I would say.
All right, so how would you set the line? 3? 2.5?
Yeah, 3. I'd be better with three.
That's fair. I mean, listen, the offense that the Rams had a couple of years ago is pretty strong. You're not seeing that right now. It's not the same offense as we once saw. We appreciate the phone call.
Thanks, Jimmy.
The reason why they're 6-point favorite or 6.5-point favorite in some places is because Vegas does not believe in the Bears' offense. This is not a slight of their defense. They're not sure if they could be able to put up enough points.
And just so everybody knows, Hoodie knows this, when they set a line, they, in their dreams, get equal amounts of money on both sides. Then they have no exposure, and they make all the juice on the losers. Period. That's how they see it. And so the line has stayed pretty consistent. 6, 6.5, might have ticked up to 7, then ticked back down. So we'll see how this whole thing shakes out tonight.
I think 6 or 6.5 is fair only for this reason. If the Rams get off to a quick start, say they're up 10, Vegas doesn't think that Foles can bring it back in the game. This is not the Falcons defense or Detroit.
Right.
It's the Rams, a formidable defense just like the Bears have. That's why the number is at 6. Maybe it's not because of what the Rams can do offensively. It's what they can do defensively. And feeling like Foles in the offense can't get out of their own way enough to be. Jigs do that all the time.
I don't touch it. That's not me. That is not me.
So nonetheless, that's the reason why that's the case, I believe.
312-332-3776. We'll have more of your calls on a football Monday and hopefully a victory Tuesday tomorrow is what we'll get after Monday Night Football. But today is also a very special day in Chicago sports history. I mean, an amazing day.
It is?
That's next.
Don't just nod your head.
Take that.
Just tell me, is it or not?
Kind of.
All right, Carm.
Maybe, maybe not.
Cap, Jay Hood.
Our new morning show. Follow on Instagram at Cap Jay Hood.
This is ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
So, today is a very special day in Bears or Chicago sports history. On this day, the Chicago Cubs in 2016 won their first World Series game in 71 years. It's a record of lunacy that will never be matched.
Yes.
I don't think.
Yes.
We won't be alive to see it unless you plan on living like 130.
No.
But there's also other things that happen on this day. Yeah. Michael Jordan made his debut as a Chicago Bull on this day.
Put a pin in that for a second. We've been telling this story for a while, but millennials did not believe us until they saw the documentary. Uh-huh. So Jordan gets drafted. Uh-huh. And during that whole time, you remember this, and I remember this reading this as a kid, there were players and media alike that said, look at the Bulls, they're going to draft a shooting guard.
Right.
That doesn't work today. And you saw in the Last Dance documentary, the bigs like Mark Eaton and like others that had been around for a while, right? Like, that guy's too small. There's no way in this time in this league that you get a shooting guard. I don't know how Jordan fits in today's NBA. Laughed at Krause. We're going to build our team around a two guard. And they're like, Lacy Banks is like, there's no shot. Like all these guys that were, there's like, no, you're not going to build around a two guard. That guy's too small.
Right.
Imagine, millennials, imagine a guy that's 6'5", 6'6". That guy's too small to draft. Really? During that time. And that guy proved everybody wrong.
Correct.
To where it changed the game. Because during that time, you just needed a big oaf in there. It didn't matter if he had skill.
Correct.
Just some dummy.
Melter.
Just put a dummy in there. Just
right.
Some moron. Just put in there. He's tall. Just put it over the top. Just back in. No. He was able to change the entire landscape of the NBA and basketball and to the point where it's like, wait, we don't need a big dummy down there?
Right.
Here comes Paul McKeskey galloping into the front court. Like, no.
Daryl Imhoff.
That's just like it.
Dennis Autry.
It changed.
Right.
And so that's why that story is always great, that Jordan changed the face of basketball, not just from his prowess, but how talent evaluators looked at the draft. So it was great that Jordan was drafted and he had a great first game.
Yep, 16 points in his debut game. I think 7 assists, 5 rebounds. And now you look at that date and you go, okay, that was the launching point of Michael. Cubs won their first World Series game. First win. It was game 2 at Cleveland.
Mm-hmm.
And then something special happened for your baseball team.
You buried the lead there, Bill Curtis. You buried the lead. A World Series championship, Jeff.
A White Sox winner in a World Championship.
There it was. John Rooney and Ed Farmer on the call. The throw! Out! Out! A White Sox winner and a World Championship! The White Sox have won the World Series, and they're mobbing each other on the field!
White Sox win the World Series. Congratulations. Back in a minute, 5 on ESPN 1000, the White Sox Radio Network.
What do you mean? They won the World Series, Ed!
Congratulations. Great. They won the World Series. Back in a minute, 5.
Still trying to, stop trying to throw it to the break, Ed! It's awesome!
Let it breathe.
There I was on Western Avenue in Beverly. There I was, mobbed, people hugging, yelling. And there I was until 4 in the morning. Couldn't get out of there. Right there at a bar in Beverly. There until 4 in the morning. Take that. Never forget that time. People weren't with brooms. That brooms coming out of their homes in Beverly. Mount Greenwood. Here they come from the south side. Evergreen Park. Here they come with their brooms. And you think, you know, actually the smallest thing about this is that they actually swept the Astros. But they brought the brooms. The World Series championship was more important than but they brought the brooms anyway. Brooms. What a moment.
11-1 in the postseason.
For someone who grew up 20 minutes from the ballpark, you know the Sox mean that much to me. And to see, be able to see it in my lifetime, it's awesome. Awesome.
Yep, I remember my brother just beside himself with joy.
You never thought you'd see it.
And then you had our afternoon show down there.
Yeah.
Harry is on the field, and he's a diehard Cub fan.
Yes.
And the owner walked up to him and said, "Hey, how'd your Cubs do today?"
"Hey, congratulations. You're so great, Jerry. So great. Hey, Harry, how'd your Cubs do today?"
Who says that? Jerry Reinsdorf says it because he's funny.
I thought it was hilarious.
Come on.
Hilarious.
Jeff, don't you remember that? Didn't you have a good feeling to see the White Sox win the World Series?
Oh, of course.
What do you remember?
Of course, no. But the only thing about the sweep was part of it was inevitable. Like, now, the games were tight. They had, you had some extra inning affairs, and it was great, but it was also like, something about a sweep, too, kind of takes away some of the drama, because you're, like, look, it was great, it was awesome, but their dominance through the postseason, at least in terms of, like, it was never in question, for whatever reason, took away a little bit of the, like, for the Cubs, conversely, in 2016, like, every second of that was up in the air. They were down 3-1. Rajay Davis hits a home run in a game 7 where it feels like, I think for Cubs fans, like, oh, no, this is happening again. For White Sox fans, it wasn't the same. It was, all right, we're going to do this. It's just a matter of time. And so, for whatever reason, it wasn't like, for me at least, it didn't have the culmination. Like, I knew it was happening, I guess. I had time to cope with it.
I was just, to see that last out, it just my God, my favorite team just won the what?
But when you're up 3-0 in that series, you knew with our pitch. Okay, we may not win 4 straight, maybe it'll be 5, but it's over.
You're still on the edge of your seat, though, because
you are.
You don't know how you're going to react. You didn't know you're jumping up and down.
Did you cry?
Yeah, I did.
Because I did when the Cubs won.
Oh, it's no question. What a bunch of drunken people in Beverly. Yes, it's no question. All the calls and making calls all throughout the night, just like, can you believe my favorite team won? Oh, it's a tremendous feeling. And for the Cubs World Series, I was here. I was doing postgame. So I was here. I was out downstairs at our State Street studios and just watching people in the streets dancing and having fun. That's a great scene, too. So it's fun.
Just kept you down there for the holiday party.
Yes. Yeah. Well, and of course, with the door locked, a little black snake moan there. It's keeping me chained to the door. So that's it happens that way. So that's all right. But those moments, those are great moments, all culminating on one day. And the Jordan thing was so much fun, just to see him out there for his debut. It's great.
Dennis Watley at one guard. And now the noise factor begins to really increase. Here is the man. They call him Mr. Jordan in Chicago. The standing ovation for Michael Jordan from North Carolina, the number 3 pick in the NBA draft.
You know, a lot of pressure's been brought to bear on this young man's shoulder. He is in a very awkward position. As we said, we know he must be excited, but the position that they're putting this kid in here, building up everything on this team around him, is going to be something that only a Michael Jordan probably can own up to.
Who's that?
I have no idea who was doing that.
Can you give
me
a call on that? Who's?
Because I can tell you the local call was Bill Hazen. Remember Bill Hazen? Sports Channel? Yes. Bill Hazen was the guy that was calling Michael's games as a rookie. Bill Hazen.
I met him.
Nicest man in the world.
I met him last year. Bill Hazen. Mm-hmm. The voice of the Fort Wayne
Zephyrs?
G League team.
What are they, the Zephyrs?
No, no. It's not the Zephyrs, but I met him, and he is a nice man. I need to know who's doing the comment. Is that a national game, Cap?
No way.
Fort Wayne, by the way, the Mad Ants.
The Mad Ants.
That's a great name.
Yeah.
That's it. That's a great name. The best name we heard, though, was Danny's kids' little league team.
The Tin Caps?
Tin Caps.
That's really cool. That's really funny.
The Tin Caps.
And they had the best hat.
It's from Johnny Appleseed. It was an apple with a tin cap on.
Yeah, it was awesome.
Hoodie, after the White Sox won the World Series, did you work the next day? I thought all Sox fan broadcasters got that day off.
No, McNeil didn't make it in, but I was here. I was a trooper. 5 a.m. 5 a.m.
Why would you want to talk about your favorite team winning the World Series?
And I was just a bad anchor during that time. Sox win the World Series. Let's hear the highlights.
Nobody had a problem with you sounding like Harry Carey that night.
Yeah, I was completely gone. I was gone. 3 sheets.
It's amazing.
And still came in and still did the job. So I didn't take the day off. No, not me. Not me during that time. I was there. Because you want to talk about it, man.
Correct.
It's just a Chicago sports achievement. Of course I'm going to be here for that.
Correct.
Not everybody feels the same way. I need you to put a license plate on that. Look, as a professional broadcaster, I need play-by-play in color. Who do you think that is?
I have no idea.
That's
because I've heard the Bill Hazen calls.
Sure.
And there was not like ESPN through 1 through 60, and you could get 40 different calls of it.
So that highlight came via YouTube. There's an ESPN archive, but there's obviously this is 84, so there's no chyrons. The video just starts where you heard it.
Yeah.
And there's no introduction from the announcers. And I was hoping that you two gentlemen, because you have a little bit of experience in the business, might be able to recognize the name.
Yeah.
But unfortunately, we do not have a credit to give because it just came courtesy of ESPN archives on YouTube.
According to Wikipedia, John Mengelt was a...
Yeah, that's not Crash, because he was my partner. That's not him.
He doesn't have a southern accent, that guy.
It lists two. It lists him and obviously Johnny Red Kerr. We know it wasn't Johnny Red Kerr.
No, and Mengelt did DePaul games on GN.
Right, I did DePaul with him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's not... Because there's no southern accent in that. Well, maybe the brother next to him. A little bit of a southern accent, but not much.
Yeah, not like Mengelt.
No.
Yeah, those are the only two that Wikipedia has listed.
I don't know who those two were.
I'm looking at the video. They took on the Washington Bullets in a very Harlem Globetrotter-esque uniform.
Yeah, I remember those.
Yeah.
Yes. Quick John Mengelt story. Mm. So he's telling me one night, we're doing a game, I think it was DePaul, and he's telling me back in the day, now we've got 40,000 games every day that are on.
Sure.
Well, back then there was one college game of the week. That was it.
Yeah.
On Saturday.
Yep.
He said, and I'm in the SEC. He said, I'm one of the best scorers in the country at Auburn. And he said, I go out and I get like 50. He said, I get back to the dorm. You didn't have a cell phone. You didn't have a phone in your room. There was one phone in the hall.
Right.
And then someone would grab it and go, hey, John, you got a phone call. He said, I get back. I scored 50. I grabbed the phone. Hello. He said, that was a hell of a game today. I'll get 75 tonight. It's pistol. And he hangs up. And it was Maravich, and he got it. With no 3-pointers. Said it was unbelievable. He goes, oh, my God. And he did it. Crazy. 312-332-3776. More of your calls, but we get to play a fun game. Shot or no shot? Next.
Take that.
Take that.
It's Cap and J-Hood on Chicago's Home for Sports. Follow the show on Twitter at
Cap J Hood. This is ESPN 1000. That's why I
see him in the shot.
Any shot? No shot. With Cap and J Hood on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app. That's why I see him
in the shot. Got no shot is one of my favorite segments because you and I get a chance to go right at it with Danny. Take it away, DZ.
Morning, you don't really go at it with me. I just ask the questions and then step out of the
Some
way.
Some of them get me triggered, so let's go.
Good morning, Danny. How are you, buddy?
Good morning, Jonathan. How are you, buddy?
Great, great. Had a great weekend.
Come on, I didn't get a good lot morning. Of... How are you, buddy, today? I didn't get that. Absolutely didn't get that. He's got white peaches for you, too. They're in the sports office.
I'll check it out.
Well, peach season's over, but what I have for him is a bunch of kiwis, and I have some winter fruit like apples, a fruit salad for him and the peacock.
Thank you. Thank you. We're going to make some pies.
Great. Thanks,
Dave. Oh, delicious.
Yeah, I'm going to have some pies. It's going to be great. So I appreciate that, as always. Thank you.
Well, of course. You're a good man, Jonathan.
Thank you.
Would you like to get into shot or no shot?
My mouth. Okay, go ahead.
What's your problem? Go ahead, Danny. I'm sorry for the interruption.
Gentlemen. Aaron Donald is a two-time NFL Defensive Player of the Year. He leads the NFL with 7.5 sacks, including a 4-sack day against Washington 2 weeks ago. He also has 6 other tackles for loss on the year. Last year, in a 17-7 Rams defeat over the Bears, Aaron Donald had 2 sacks, 4 quarterback hits, and a pass defense. So I ask you guys, shot or no shot, if I set the total for Aaron Donald's sacks tonight at 1.5, you are going over.
Nope, no I'm shot. Going under.
I will say a lot of hurries, but I'll say under the 1.5. I'll say no shot.
Like, it should help a guy like Leonard Floyd tonight, who has 2 sacks on the season.
No, we shut him out.
I would hope.
Shut him out.
I would love it.
I don't care what. If
but they're going to chip. They're going to help. They're going to do whatever it takes on Aaron Donald.
Come on, offensive line. Shut him down.
Correct.
I'm a Georgia guy, but I know that he didn't do much for the Bears, so shut him down. Take that.
Does anyone want to make a sandwich bet, Waddle?
Sandwich bet?
I'll bet the over in that.
Really?
Against this offensive line?
Sandwich bet, Waddle?
And listen, as much as I like to crap on Mitch Trubisky, he at least was more mobile than Nick Foles. So, now, Nick Foles is smart enough to throw the ball away, but he's not light on his feet.
Sandwich bet?
Sandwich bet.
Waddle?
Is that an official?
You want to bet, what do you want, a crate of apples? What would you like? A bottle of Crown?
I'll take a
hoodie.
Big, fresh thing of pre-cut celery.
That's a boring bet, but okay. Celery it is for you.
Got it.
And you and I, sandwich bet. You, and it was me, with Texas toast. You got
to
eat it.
No, you're going to waste it? I'm going to give it to a homeless guy outside.
No, you got
to
eat it in front of me.
No shot.
Come on.
No shot.
Come on.
No shot, Hoodrow.
See, how are you back out of these bets all the time?
Exactly. I'm not making a bet that puts my health at risk.
Oh, my God.
One piece of bread.
Oh, don't get me started. Gentlemen, Allen Robinson and Jalen Ramsey faced off last year after Ramsey was traded to the Rams in the Bears' loss in which Mitch Trubisky was either injured or benched. Who knows what the truth is. Robinson had 4 catches for 15 yards in that game, matching up with Jalen Ramsey. So I ask you guys, shot or no shot, Allen Robinson has at least 7 catches for more than 50 receiving yards tonight going up against Jalen Ramsey.
That's a shot.
I'm going to say... shot simply because
you're near me.
He is going to be motivated on the prime stage. He wants to get paid. Nick looks at him as his obvious number one target. Yeah, I'm going to say shot.
I'll say shot to that. I say, you know, and I'm glad, you know, you had a nice menial 50 yards there, right? 7 catches, 50 yards, right, Danny?
Correct.
Yeah, I think that's done.
like I said, though, last year, 4 catches, 15 yards. Now, obviously, Mitch was there, and Mitch was benched or injured, whatever you want to say.
Boy, I'll tell you what. If he doesn't reach at least those numbers, the Bears' offense is sunk. If you can't get at least 7 receptions good for 50 yards, that's pretty bad. Then that means it's...
Unless somebody has a breakout game.
It's the Mooney game.
Right.
It's the Anthony Miller game.
Correct.
The
Cole Kmet game.
Yeah.
Correct.
By the way, any Kmet bets today?
He's down to 45-1 after somebody cashed at 90-1. Points Bet Sportsbook has him at 45-1.
Gonna jump in on that?
Damn right.
Okay. So I say shot to that one, Danny.
All right, gentlemen, Joe Burrow, who most thought was going to run away with Rookie of the Year, has the most completions, 195, and attempts, 293, by any player in his first seven career games in the NFL. Justin Herbert has the second most pass yards at 1,542 by any player in his first five career games in the NFL, only trailing Cam Newton. So I ask you guys, shot or no shot, Justin Herbert actually wins the NFL Rookie of the Year over Joe Burrow.
Shot. Justin Herbert is a phenomenal football player. Phenomenal. Joe Burrow is as well. I think those are your two leading candidates, clearly. Let's see how Tua Tagovailoa now plays installed as the Dolphins starting quarterback. But yes, absolute shot. This Rookie of the Year race is far from over.
Thinking that's a no shot. I'm very impressed by Burrow. And Jeff, you can help me with the fantasy stats with this, in this regard, right? When it comes to Burrow and Justin Herbert, like I'll be honest, I was not necessarily over the moon about Herbert because I watched a ton of him in college. I didn't know he turned into Ben Roethlisberger in his first year. Okay, so I didn't expect that. But Burrow, even in losses, impresses me based on the numbers I see. I could see a good quarterback in both of them. I'm still going to lean Burrow in this regard. How do you see the numbers there?
So Joe Burrow has actually had the most pass attempts in football with 293. So he's going to put up yardage. He's third in the league in passing yards, 2023. And he has 9 touchdowns, 5 interceptions. The Bengals, though, I think they're I think Herbert has a shot. I think now he has a late start, but Herbert's stats have been actually more impressive if you take into account the fact that he did not start the first couple of games. I'm trying to pull up his...
Right, Tyrod Taylor Herbert was still... He got lanced in the lung.
Yeah, by his training staff.
Not only that, but he got hurt.
Yeah. You wonder if there'll be a lawsuit down the road. You know what I mean? I think that's, you know, a year from now, I think it's a possibility.
Maybe, but again, I speak as someone who had heart surgery. Mm-hmm. When you go in there, you sign a form understanding that they could puncture the back of your heart when they're working in there.
Yeah.
You could die on the table and you absolve them of any blame, period.
Tough.
So...
Yeah, but that doesn't mean that, you know, if they made a mistake, there's...
Yeah, did he make a mistake or was it something that was a known consequence that small chance, but it could happen? I don't know.
Justin Herbert has 12 touchdowns to Burrow's 9. And, Herbert's numbers are pretty impressive. So
Herbert's a beast.
As long as he keeps playing like this, I think he actually does have a shot.
Yeah. He's big.
Yeah, I like it a lot. Danny?
Dan?
Gentlemen, shot or no shot, David Emmanuel Kaplan will be seen sitting outside Jeff Meller's house later today.
I don't know where he lives.
No shot. So then that's a no shot.
No shot. And I was not outside your house. I didn't even come within a block of your house. So take that.
Cap, I live in a division, and there's only one in and one out, and you were in the division.
Correct.
You're in the subdivision just sitting there waiting for me.
No,
it's a little weird. JR, put it on the poll. Is it weird that Cap was sitting in Zetterman's neighborhood Saturday afternoon for no reason?
Wow.
It's weird. Admit it's weird.
It's not, because I actually had to pull over to talk to my mom.
But why in my subdivision?
Because I was coming by your house.
But why?
To say hi.
But you didn't call.
Correct. I was going to see if you were outside working out.
It's like what I used to do in high school, driving by my ex-girlfriend's house just to see if she happened to be out there. Do you want to get back together?
I will never drive by your house again. Don't ever ask me for a ride, nothing.
Hey, come on, it's weird. Shot or no shot, it's weird.
What's weirder, like the idea that Danny has put together a home gym in his garage a la Kevin Spacey in American Beauty?
It's coronavirus.
Or the fact that Cap is hanging out, it's like
a P.I.,
like he's just stalking him. What's his name?
I'm going right down Cusack, the street. Like Daniel's right there. I wonder if he's outside. I'll drive by.
Cap, I went to my sister's house yesterday. I drove right by where you and Sylvie live, and I didn't even think of driving in there. I just said, okay, let's go to my sister's.
You do you, kid. I'm going to do me. You be you.
How long were you sitting there, and how long would you have been sitting there if I wasn't going to Trader Joe's?
I just had pulled over dealing with a family matter, which you should understand.
Oh, now the family matter. That's got nothing to do with this. Don't go down that road where I'm the bad guy because you were dealing with a family matter.
Yeah, you are the bad guy. 312-332-3776.
Starring Hood every Monday, 7 to 10 ESPN 1000.
You're always welcome to be in my neighborhood.
I don't have your address. You never gave it to me. You don't want me.
Don't do it.
What's wrong with that?
Give me the address.
At the South Shore Cultural Club.
Give me the address. I'll be there.
71st?
I'll be there. 71st and Jeffrey. I'll be there. 312-332-3776. We go around the NFL and more of your calls next.
Oh, man.
This is Cap and Jay Hood. Enjoy the show each morning in your Instagrammies. At Cap Jay Hood on Instagram.
This is Chicago's home for sports.
ESPN 1000.
I just got a text from my wife with a video outside her office. Says it's snowing. It's October 26th. That's ridiculous.
Chicago.
That's it. You don't like the weather? Wait 20 minutes.
It's Chicago. Not surprised.
312-332-3776. So as you watched the NFL yesterday, okay, everyone knows that I am not and never have been a New England Patriots fan. I just got sick of them. Look, I'm never going to say Bill Belichick isn't an amazing coach. I'm never going to say Tom Brady isn't one of the greatest players in the history of the sport at any position. I just got sick of them, so I cheered against them.
Yeah, all that success sucks. I mean, here's the thing. You want to tell your kids and your grandkids, they're going to ask you, what was Tom Brady and Bill Belichick like? Well, they were the winningest team for a 20-year stretch.
Right.
They were the best. Why were they the best? Well, you want to be able to tell stories. You don't want to say, well, I don't know. I got sick of them, so I just stopped watching. I didn't care.
Oh, no, I watched. I just cheered against them.
I mean, I had no problem with them because that's where I want the Bears to be.
Yeah.
You got to keep looking at the pinnacle to figure out how you
reach
the top.
But that's probably the greatest run of our lifetime, maybe in the history of American sports.
Well, you watch that every week and you appreciate it because you want to see what it's like to be at the pinnacle every Correct. Single year, at least, or get close to it.
Correct. So I'm watching the Patriots yesterday, and they were awful.
Mm-hmm.
I mean awful. Lost 33-6, worst loss or tied for the worst loss in the history of Bill Belichick's run as Patriots coach. And I watched Cam Newton, and he was brutal.
Mm-hmm.
They finally benched him for Jarrett Stidham, but after the game, Belichick said, no, we're going to start Cam next week. He's going to start again. This team got pounded by Denver last week. They've lost three consecutive games. And I also watched Dallas get just eviscerated by Washington. Andy Dalton, prior to getting a scary John Bostic ex-Bear dirty hit to the head, knocked out, Andy Dalton was worse than Cam Newton. And I'm looking going, where are all the people that were screaming, Ryan Pace is an idiot. He should have got Cam Newton. He should have got Andy Dalton. Those two guys look awful. Awful.
Yeah. You usually look awful when you've had COVID. You may not be the same. Or if you have some kind of special drug, maybe you are the same, you know, for some. Nonetheless, when it comes to Cam Newton, though, who knows if he'll be even close to where he was when he first started off. Look, all I know is this with the Patriots. They've won for a long time, and Bill Belichick is a great coach, the greatest coach in my lifetime when it comes to the National Football League. But he has to actually have players to coach. I understand that Tom Brady's in Tampa now, and you know there was going to be a kind of a curve. Without Brady, it was going to be Stidham before even Cam Newton got there. Stidham was going to be the starter going away until he said, went to the Dollar General and goes, oh, I'll take this Cam. It's half off, so I'll just throw it in the cart.
Right.
It brought in Cam Newton, right?
Right.
He goes through COVID. Before this, with all this COVID-19, a number of players opted out on that Patriots team.
Mm-hmm.
Quality players.
Yep.
Like, I'm not going to play. And when your number one receiver is Edelman, that's not great.
And he's got a knee issue.
Okay, so it's going to look bad. So if you are anti-Patriot, laugh now. If you're anti-Cowboy, laugh now. There was no Dak Prescott. Andy Dalton is two steps below. And below that, you got DiNucci as a backup. So it's going to be tough. You just always remember, The quarterback makes the difference. No matter how great you think the coach is, if you don't have an offense or a quarterback that can be consistent, it looks like the Patriots, it looks like the Cowboys.
Bill Belichick wakes up and goes, oh, I guess I know what the rest of the league was dealing with the last 20 years while I had the goat out there.
He was going to deal with that anyway this year.
Yep.
Especially when you start seeing guys opt out. Nobody wants to be with that football team. They're missing practices. It's going to be bad anyway.
Yeah, it's an ugly mess.
It's going to be bad anyway.
Ugly mess.
Yeah.
Boomer Esiason this morning doing his football breakdown said, Patriots offensive struggles start with the quarterback.
Take your shots now.
And then I was looking at some old or listening to some old audio this morning of Bruce Arians in March. We are not bringing Antonio Brown here. I can't be any clearer. We don't want him. I was with him in Pittsburgh. He's a diva. There's no communication. Oh, our GM Tom Brady wants him? Okay, bring him in.
That's it.
We now know who's in charge there. And it's not Bruce Arians, and it's not Jason Light. It is Tom Brady's team.
You know, you wonder what LeBron would look like in the NFL. Now you see him. He's a quarterback for Tampa. He's running the show, just like LeBron's running the show in Los Angeles. Same thing here with Brady. He's running the show. So AB's there. And Tampa's a lot better than I thought they would be also. I thought without Belichick, Brady would go through a little bit of some growing pains. Looks like he's in a nice rhythm offensively.
No question about it. Here are some of the other quotes. Arians on the Tiki and Turney show in March said, Brown signing with Tampa Bay is not going to happen because he's not a fit in our locker room. I was with him in Pittsburgh. Too much miscommunication. Too much diva. Yeah. And all of a sudden, a couple guys are banged up. The new GM, Tom Brady, wants him. I guess I will just shut up and coach the football team.
That's what you do. You just sip your Crown Royal Peach and enjoy the sideline behind glass. He looks weird with that face shield.
Yeah.
He doesn't have a mask.
PPE.
He had the face shield yesterday. Yeah. But what Tom Brady wants, Tom Brady gets.
No question about it.
You trust the GOAT, don't you? You trust his judgment?
Yep.
Then let him have what he needs. You trying to win a football game?
Right.
I think he knows how to get there.
Yeah, we're going to see. Plus, you've got banged up guys in Mike Evans, and Scotty Miller's been dealing with some stuff, and Gronk. So, all right, 312-332-3776. JD, Jeff Dickerson, previews Bears-Rams in 2 minutes.